Awesome. Well, it's been a little while since I've had the privilege of bringing the word to you, so I've been really looking forward to this morning and jumping back into our journey that we have been on of focusing on purity or a pure heart. It started for us a couple months ago in a word that God actually gave to us as a citywide church. I was praying one day with a lady from another church, and a song started playing called Pure. And we suddenly became quiet, and the Spirit just moved into that space and began to speak to us. And we heard the Lord say to us in that moment, you need to change the cry of your heart. And as we listened further, he said, the cry of your heart has been for you to enter into the fulfillment of this great Southland of the Holy Spirit and to experience a great outpouring of my presence and power of revival. And that's what you've been praying for and asking for and contending for and believing for. And I have heard that cry. Isn't that awesome? God actually said, I have heard that cry. In other words, it's coming. He said, it's coming. But now I need you to change the cry of your heart. And I want you to ask me to give you a pure heart. And he went on to say to us in that moment, because I am preparing you for you in answer to your prayer. What I am about to do is going to be manifested through the pure in heart. I am looking for pure vessels to pour my spirit into that have willingly allowed me to refine their hearts and make them pure and are ready to be wholeheartedly set apart for my purposes, whose characters are humble and submissive and ready to serve and ready to go when I say go and ready to do what I command when I command it with a willing heart. Pure hearts that are not contaminated with the love of money, but who are generous and ready to sacrifice for the sake of my kingdom. Hearts that have been purified from your grumbling and complaining and instead are living from a place of gratitude. Hearts that have been purified of your idols, of those things that have had a higher priority in your life than me and my kingdom. Hearts that are open and transparent and truly seeking after me, longing to be pure, and have a heart that burns with passion for me and my kingdom. So ask me for a pure heart. Because what I am about to do, I am going to pour forth into the pure hearts and manifest through them. And as a church specifically, the journey began for us on the week after all the young people had gone to camp. Remember when they stood up here and they shared their testimonies? And the week after that, we looked at Psalm 119, verse 9. It was in our daily scripture reading. It was actually the scripture reading for that Sunday. And it said, how can a young man keep his way pure? Do you remember that? How can a young man keep? By living according to God's word. And we were challenged that day with the question at the very beginning, who is even asking that question? Who is even asking that question? Lord, I want to live with a pure heart. How can I keep my way pure in this world that is full of defilement, that is full of sin, that is full of darkness? How, God, can I keep my way pure? Who's asking that question? God is looking for individuals, young and old, and everything in between, and churches that have this desire to keep their way pure and who are willing to listen to the answer that the psalmist gives to this question. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can anyone keep their way pure? By living according to my word. Do you know that you can tell how serious you are about having a pure heart? By discerning your desire for God's word. You can tell how serious you really are by a desire for a pure heart, by discerning your desire for God's word. Do you know why? Because a lover of God is a lover of God's word. A lover of God is a lover of God's word. Let me illustrate that for us this morning. I ask Matt to help me out with this. I ask him to write a letter to Haley, telling her how he felt about her, what he enjoys about her, what he loves about her, what he desires for her in her life, and maybe include a word from the Lord of encouragement to her. And so I've got this letter here in my hand. I haven't read it, Haley. What do you think Haley is going to do with this letter when she receives it? Do you think when I hand this letter to Haley, she's going to take it and be like, no big deal. I'll read that later. I'll get to that sometime. Maybe next week I'll pick it up off my shelf after it's gathered a little bit of dust. You reckon? Is that possible? No, why not? Everybody loves a love letter. Haley, what are you going to do with this? You going to read it? Are you going to read it out loud for us?
Dear Haley, I love the beautiful heart you carry for my family. I enjoy your boldness and assurance in who you are and the ability to also not take yourself too seriously. I desire for you that you continue to grow and flourish into the amazing woman of God that you are. I love you, continue to trust in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart as he places his desire for you in there.
Oh. Because they love each other, she would receive that letter, take that letter, read that letter, reread that letter again and again. This is God's letter to you and me. It tells you what he thinks and believes about you. It is his words of life to you. In it is his demonstration of how much he loves you and how much he is for you. It is full of encouragement. It reveals who you were created to be and even to a degree what you were created to do. It is full of truth. It is full of God's desire for you. So why would you not be reading this letter? A lover of God is a lover of his word. Some of us here are neglecting God's word in our lives, and you're actually missing out on his heart for you, and you're going to miss out on how to keep your way pure by neglecting his word. Because the psalmist has said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to his word. There's something about your journey in the word of God that brings about purity in our lives. So some of us need to stop making excuses for why we are not reading God's love letter to us. Some of us need to get rid of our excuses that I don't understand it, that I don't get anything out of it, that I don't want to read it, or I don't know where to start. I'm not a good reader. I don't like to read. I don't have time to read it. These are all excuses that we give for not being in the Word of God and receiving His heart for us. A lover of God is a lover of God's Word. And as we enter into that love relationship with God through His Word, He uses it to purify us. So it's got to be a part of this season of purity that He's doing in our lives. And so there is another level that God wants to be doing in some of our lives that we haven't yet experienced because we've been neglecting His word. This is a bit of a detour this morning. But if you want to know God's will for you right now, it is really very simple. God wants you to ask Him for a pure heart. And a key to Him answering that prayer is going to be found in and through your journey with Him in the Word. Does that make sense? Over the next 2 weeks, I want to address three questions with us. The first one I want to address today is, how does God work to answer that prayer? When we ask Him for a pure heart, how does He go about answering it? What does that process look like? And I want to share with you some stories today, because sometimes stories help us see and understand things better than just talking about it. Next Sunday, I want to talk about what exactly is a pure heart and what does a pure heart look like. And in our scripture readings throughout this next week, in the Read Scripture that we're doing together as a church family, we are going to be reading the stories of Esther and Daniel. So please read them this week and start thinking about how these two characters have a pure heart. What it looks like to have a pure heart when you read Esther. What does it look like to have a pure heart when you read about Daniel? And that's what we're going to be talking about next week. But for today, when we ask Him for a pure heart, how does He go about answering it? What does that process look like? Well, first, it is to understand that it actually is about our hearts that need purifying. This journey is all about our hearts. Do you remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16? When the prophet Samuel is told to go to the house of Jesse, and he said, you're going to find one of his sons there that I want you to anoint as king. Do you remember that story? And Samuel gets all the family together, and the seven oldest sons of Jesse pass before him, and God says to every single one of them, nope, not that one, nope, not that one, nope, not that. Is there any more sons? Do you have any more sons? There's seven, and God said no to all of them. And what did God say in verse whatever it is? I didn't write it down. He says, do not consider Samuel, his appearance or his height. I do not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. In order for God to purify our hearts, He has to look into it and then one by one begin to address the impurities within it. So it is critical for us to understand that when we ask God for a pure heart, we are giving Him permission to go deep into our hearts. One of the readings from this past week was Psalm chapter 42. Who read Psalm 42? Deep calls unto deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers has swept over me. The psalmist is crying out. This whole psalm is about this season in the psalmist's life of feeling downcast and oppressed by the enemy and suffering in his soul and suffering in his body. And he describes it with this imagery of deep is calling out to deep. Deep is crying out to deep. And having come through a season like this, like the psalmist did in my own life more recently, I know that this deep calling out to deep actually goes both ways. In other words, from the depths of God, he is crying out to me. Seek me, love me, follow me, come to me. Pour out your soul to me, Candace. And on the other hand, there is my deep that is crying out to God, saying, God, I need you. I'm sinking here. Where are you? Deep is crying out to deep. His deep is crying out to my deep. My deep is crying out to his deep. This is what happens when you ask God for a pure heart. Deep is crying out to deep. In the deep places of God's heart, he is saying to us, I want to make your heart pure like mine. But because he doesn't force himself on us, he is asking us to cry out from the depths of our hearts and ask him to make my heart pure. And asking God to give me a pure heart is what gives him permission to do his deep refining work where the ugly things in us that are hidden can come forth and be exposed and cleansed away. And I really want you to know, church, that this word is not for us alone. This is something God is speaking and doing all across our city. Most of you will know that that's my job. I'm with pastors and churches every day almost of the week. 2 weeks ago, I was in two separate prayer meetings. And in both worship and prayer meetings, God gave us the song, Refiner's Fire, to sing. The one worship leader, he had other songs planned. And he said, I really feel like we need to sing this song, Refiner's Fire. What does that song say? It says, purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, ready to do your will. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin within. Make me holy. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from within. Deep within. I can tell you of individual leaders that are going through a very deep refining process right now. I can tell you of churches as a whole that are going through a very deep refining journey right now where their pastors are saying, God, refine me, purify me, and purify my church. And that's how they're leading them. I can tell you stories of deep refining work God is doing in our brothers and sisters in prison. I can tell you stories of God's deep refining work that he is doing in leadership of prayer ministries across this city and drug rehab centers across this city. God is doing a deep refining work in us, his people. And this is important to hear and know because God is up to something much greater than just purifying your life, my life, and our congregation. He is at work in his people across this city because he is looking to prepare a people for something significant. I am prophesying to you now. I am declaring to you now the word of the Lord that God is getting his people ready for something that we have not yet known, seen, or experienced. And he is looking for those who will say, yes, Lord, refine me deeply so I can be ready to be used by you when you move. But you actually got to want that. back to our question, when we ask him for a pure heart, how does he go about answering it? What does that process look like? Well, it typically happens through the trials and the testings that we're going through, personally, in our families, in our workplaces, in our church. In the troubles, the obstacles, the unanswered prayers, the loss, the grief, the opposition, the lack of provision, the heartaches, the pain, the sicknesses that are not healed. These are all circumstances God uses to refine and purify us and to bring out into the surface what is deep in our hearts. So what does it look like? Well, I want to start by giving you a glimpse into what it's looked like for me. And are we recording this, Dave? Can we please pause the recording for a moment? A month, it looks like that. In a moment, God using a circumstance, a situation to expose what's in here and inviting you into that place of just confess, Gus, repent, and just let me come and purify you. I'm going to invite Elton up to share his testimony. Is he in the house, Elton? Oh, there he is. To give you another illustration, I guess, of what it looks like when God is purifying us in this season, how God works.
Morning, guys. So, God's amazing. So, God wants us to be free, truly free, clean hands and pure hearts. So going back 13 years ago, I had a bad motorcycle accident where the enemy nearly got my life as I was backslidden. But God saved me with about an hour of my life to spare. I had heavy internal bleeding. And doctors operated, and they said there's about a 50-50 chance that I would make it from that. I sustained many soft tissue damages all over my body, and one of them was a muscles in the top left of my back between my spine and my shoulder blade. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Candace prayed with me, and I was healed from that. So, amen. And what was the key to the healing process was truth. And I want to emphasize it's truth. Diane asked me a question long time ago. The truthful answer to the question was yes, but I replied no, as it was long before we were married. It was a lie. I did not think that it would matter, but it did. As we learn, God wants us to be free, and the enemy does not. This haunted me for many years, and we learn in the FFI, the Family Foundations International, that God wants us to be healed physically and emotionally, and timing needs to be right. So we learn that confess before man and you get healing. Confess before God and you get forgiveness. I got prayer many times for my back pain, but it just never got better. It would go through phases. And why did God not heal me? And I thought it was just damage needing to be healed. But it was the lie that I was carrying around that was breaking my back. I had to confess to my wife and apologize and ask for God. I had to confess to my wife and apologize and ask God for forgiveness. Why? Because the enemy has ammo against us in the heavenly courtroom. He uses unclean hands and impure hearts as accusations against us in heavenly court. Once I confessed these things and brought it into the light, there was no secret that the enemy could use against me. If there is anything in your life that needs healing, ask God if there is something that you need to bring into the light and confess, so that the enemy does not have legal rights over you and keep you from what God wants to bless you with.
Sorry, you can start that again if you haven't already, Dave. Thank you, Elton. When Elton speaks of the courts of heaven, he is referring to the reality that our enemy, the devil, seeks to capitalize on the impurities in our hearts. He stands before God in the courts of heaven, and he accuses us, and as long as he has a legal right to do so, because of our disobedience that we're living in, stubbornness of our hearts, secrets that we're holding on to, hardness of our hearts, unforgiveness, or anything that we're not willing to acknowledge and turn away from, then our enemy has a legitimate accusation. And therefore, the blood of Jesus Christ and the provision of Jesus has no effect until we confess and deal with that issue. The enemy is free to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's what he loves to do in our lives and hinder the provision of Jesus until we confess and turn away from our sin and apply the victory that Jesus has won on the cross for us. And this should help us. His testimony and what he was sharing should help us to see and understand why God's desire is so deep to purify us. Because it means victory for us and defeat for the devil. The season of purity is God's desire to reveal the deep and hidden things in our hearts so that we can acknowledge and agree with him, turn away from those impurities, and apply the provision of his blood that speaks a better word over our lives for forgiveness and healing and salvation and deliverance. Breakthrough. Life. Do you see that? That's the end game for God. That's why he wants us to ask him for a pure heart. You know, when I was home last December, God began preparing me then for this season of purifying. And the story actually begins back here in this building a couple years, or probably a year and a half prior. I'm not even sure when it was. But you may remember that the school used to put tape down. They'd put tape all around this so they could play badminton or something on the way. And I can remember, you know, saying, you know, you need to take that tape up because, you know, we keep walking on, everybody keeps walking and it's getting ground and the carpet's going to ruin our carpet. And this is the house of God. And I was concerned about, you know, this stewarding this carpet. And, you know, it was left there. Finally, one day they decide to take the tape off the carpet. And I happened to be preaching that morning when I walked in. And there are these blobs of tape left on the carpet all over the place, particularly in the back. And it just looked like the floor was totally dirty. You know, it looked like trash was all over it. You know, as a pastor, that bothers me. I'm like, I don't want people walking into the house of God feeling like there's trash all over the floor. And I was angry. I was really angry. And I was down on that carpet that morning. I was here like 2 hours early. I was with my little nails trying to get up as much tape out of this carpet as I possibly could. But I was so angry while I was doing it. I was so frustrated. I was burning up inside. Well, God did deal with me on that issue. I preached a sermon a couple years ago about forgiveness. And in that sermon, I was telling you, I didn't tell you the details, but it was about that situation. And God was saying, you never forgave them for that. And so every time I walked into the building after that, I just had this spirit of aggression was in me that would come out and manifest in different ways. But that was the root of it. because I never forgave them. So God had already dealt with me on that issue a while back. But when I went home and I visited over Christmas, the church my dad actually pastored while I was in high school. We went there to, they were putting on a Christmas event for the community and the church. And my dad, who is now 80 years old, he kept wandering off. You know, there's all this activity going on in the church. They're putting on a plays, and they've got all these stalls, you know, for Christmas and stuff. And he just kept wandering off. And I was out looking for him for the third time. And I'm searching for him, and I go downstairs where all the Sunday school classrooms are. And I'm walking by one of the classrooms, and the lights are off. And I look down, and I see my dad on his hands and knees picking up tape on the floor. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? And he says to me, remember, I used to be the pastor of this church years ago. He says to me, oh, well, you know, I just saw this carpet, you know, this tape that's obviously grounded into the carpet. And I'm sure the pastors don't really have time to pick it up. So I just thought I would help him out. And I just stood there. As God was just showing me in that moment a picture of the difference between an impure heart in my attitude and the pure heart of Jesus in my dad. And when I got back home here and God began me and us on this journey of purity, he reminded me of that. And he's just saying, I'm showing you a picture here because what you saw in your earthly father that day is what I'm going to do. That's the pure heart I'm going to give you, Candace. That's the pure heart I want to give to those who will ask for it. Isn't he cool? Just the way he speaks to us and he gives us these pictures and he reveals to us what he wants to do. Last Sunday, Danny had a dream on Sunday morning, and he shared it with us in pre-service prayer. In the dream, he saw an arm, and there were these pretty gross black spots on the arm. But the rest of the body was clean. And then he said he saw this hand that went around getting rid of the black spots and cleaning it up. And he understood that God was saying through that dream that he is purifying us and there's going to be these garbage, like black spots that are going to come up, but his hand is going to come and he's going to work to cleanse and purify and wash them away. Just another picture of what is on the heart of God right now. He speaks to us through dreams. I had a dream this week. I was in a church service. And the preacher was up front preaching about purity. And she began to speak about how some of us don't actually believe that we can be pure. And she was declaring over us that we can be pure because God is the one who makes us pure. And Jesus died for our purity. And she's up there preaching this sermon. And so I just stand up in my dream. I stand up and we lock eyes and we're looking at each other. And I stood up in the dream because I was like, yes, yes, we can be pure. That was what's going on in my heart. Yes, I agree. We can be pure. We can have a pure heart. And then as her eyes gazed and she kept speaking and declaring this truth and this reality that we can have a pure heart because of who he is and what Jesus has done, I then kind of turned it into a prayer, and I'm like, again, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, give me a pure heart. I'm asking you again. I know you can do it. Keep doing it in me. So God was again giving a dream to reveal to us what he can do and what he wants to do and what he's asking you to let him do. This journey began by God telling us to change the cry of our hearts, ask me to give you a pure heart. My friends, God never invites us to ask him for something that he doesn't intend to give us. The deep longing of God's heart is to give you and me pure hearts. So what's going on in your life right now? What circumstances? What situation? What conflict? What struggle? What heartache? What division? What addictions? What sicknesses? These are the places where his refining fire is at work. So ask him, what are you needing to refine in me through this? What are you seeking to purify in my heart through this circumstance and situation? What is the black spot that you're bringing up to the surface that you want to remove? Those are the simple questions that we can be asking in this season. Will you bow your heads with me? The way forward is just to, first and foremost, if you maybe are new today, or you maybe you've been on the journey, but you actually haven't genuinely asked God to give you a pure heart, and you actually haven't said, yes, God, I give you permission to do your refining work in my heart and bring out into the open anything that is impure so that you can purify it. God, I'm asking you today. I'm asking you today. Give me a pure heart. I'm giving you permission. Refine me so that I can be ready to be a part of what you're going to do. Whether that's you for the first time or you've been on the journey and you're in process, listen to the conviction and revelation of his spirit in your life. Pay attention to your heart's responses and whether or not they really align with the word of God and the humble servanthood character of Jesus Christ. When things happen around you, is your heart response like my heart response was, picking up that tape? Angry, frustrated, bitter. Because the heart that he wants you to have is the picture of my dad. Humbly, just on his hands and knees at 80 years old, picking up the tape. Are there any secrets that God needs to deal with? Things that, as Elton was sharing with us, are things in your heart, things that are secrets, things that no one else knows about, that you need to confess, that you need to share with someone you can trust and who can help you pray and receive freedom and healing. Any lie that you've told that the enemy could be using against you right now, like he was using it against Elton, that needs to be confessed. Pay attention to your dreams. Are you having dreams? What is God revealing through them? Ask help if you need interpretation. Right now, God might be reminding you of some dream that you've been having or have had. And he's reminding you of that dream because there's something in it that he's trying to reveal to you. Are you a lover of God's word? Maybe you need to confess today that you've had excuses when it comes to reading and loving the word of God. And you just want to confess and bring those excuses before the Lord today and ask his help for them. If you do struggle to read the word, ask for his help. Ask your pastors for help. If you don't understand, come and talk with your pastors. Ask them for help. Ask them for a way forward. Come and speak to me. And let us pray over you. And ask God to help you in reading the Word of God. Because He has so much He wants to reveal of His heart for you in His Word. I'm just going to have the sound guys play the song Refiner's Fire. And if we can follow along with the words on the PowerPoint as well. I want to invite us to just sing this song together. And if God has revealed anything to your heart this morning that He wants you to deal with in prayer, during the song, I just invite you to come forward as we sing. Use this time and space to respond. Don't delay. If He's speaking now, then respond now. You know, none of us are guaranteed another day, another moment, another chance with God. If He's dealing with you, if you need to respond to anything before Him today, come forward and use this space and time to just engage your heart with God's heart right now. Is He revealing a black spot? Is He revealing a secret you're holding on to? Is He revealing some area of disobedience that is allowing the devil to hold an accusation against you? Is He revealing a heart attitude that needs purified? As we sing, just come forward and begin to talk to God about it. Let's pray this prayer together as we do. Louder, please.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Precious silver, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be. I choose to be holy, set apart for You, my Master, ready to do Your will. From within and make me holy, purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin deep within. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire. For You, Lord,
Dave, I'm just going to ask you to let the song repeat, but just turn down a little bit. And I'm going to ask Danny to come and share the word that he had this morning. And Gabe, can you come forward and share that word that you had in pre-service prayer? Just let the song keep playing in the background. Thanks. Or do you want me to come to you? Here you go.
Morning, everybody. Yeah, so God gave me a word this morning, and he was talking about how we can be pure in our day-to-day lives, and the way he explained it to me was like going on a diet. He said to me, a lot of people go on diets, and like they'll do good for a bit, then they'll miss one day, and like, oh, it's fine, I'll stick back to it. They go back 2 weeks later, they miss another day, then they miss another day sooner. And eventually they get to a point where I'm like, well, I keep missing days now. I can't stick to this. This is ridiculous and it's not changing. And then they quit from it and step back. And this is what some of us do with our sin. So part of day-to-day being pure with God is, you know, we stop doing that if we sin. And God was saying to us to tell the congregation that when you sin, don't let your sin draw you away from God, but let your repentance draw you closer to Him. So He was saying, instead of doubling back and saying, this is too hard, I keep failing, God, like, I can't meet your standards here, this is ridiculous. Instead go, sorry God, thank you for your forgiveness, help me turn away, make me pure. And every time you stuff up, instead of letting it get you further from God, just say to whatever was stuffing you up, say, look, you've actually drawn me closer to God. So keep doing that and I'll keep drawing closer. And that's just a way we can stay pure in our day-to-day lives.
So can I just have the worship team come up and get ready to play?
Morning, everyone. So I got a picture. This morning, pre-service prayer, and it was us all in here in this building, but we were on our knees, and I believe God was telling me that we need to actually take that proactive step to be on our knees, to really surrender ourselves to Him in this purifying season. You see, so the weird picture was we're in here. But there was smoke, okay? And you know how, if there's a house fire, they say for you to stop, drop, and roll, and, you know, get down low, right? Well, I've seen us on our knees, and as each and every one of us literally went through this purifying process, the smoke started to disappear in the building. And it allowed us to actually stand up and start, you know, restart that sort of, uprighteous, you know, sort of walk with Him, if that makes sense. I choose to be.
Do you see how those two are working together? Because both repentance that Danny was sharing about and humility of getting down on your knees go together. That's what repentance is, that humility before God to confess and acknowledge and to ask for what only He can do. So the team is going to lead us in that song. You guys got that ready? Purify My Heart. And I'll invite you to, if you feel led, to just take that posture of humility on your knees before the Lord. And let's sing this song together again. Purify My Heart. If you want to come forward for prayer, we're going to start praying for people now. So those of you who can help, help us praying with others and just coming alongside of them, asking them how can we help pray for them, please come forward and let's start praying.
My heart. Of us come from places where the word of God has been used against us, because you know we need the Holy Spirit to explain the word to us. Candace was talking about that love letter, and maybe you don't experience the word of God like a love letter, maybe you experience it like a stick, because the enemy's used it maybe through parents or pastors or someone to come and condemn you with it, and they've taken the word of God and hit you with it. And so in your heart, there's an offense towards the word of God, because you don't expect the word of God to love you. You don't open the Bible and expect to hear how precious you are. You're waiting for the condemnation. And so if that's you, if you're willing, would you stand? And I want to pray with you, because that's where I'm at. And I just want to pray that confession to the Lord, and to ask the Lord to forgive us for accusing his word of being mean. and asking that the Holy Spirit would come and change that, that we would experience the Word of God as God intended. So if that's you, just stick your hand up a little bit or stand up and let me just pray this for you.
Holy Spirit.
So Father God, I just come and confess on behalf of myself and everyone who's indicated that the Word of God is not something that they approach with a positive expectation, where there's been hurt in the past, Lord, where the enemy has come in and used someone to bring accusation and condemnation and shame. And that was never your intent. Your intent, Father, was that the word would come from your heart to us, that it would come lovingly, that it would come to bring healing and restoration, that it would come to comfort us and to purify us and wash us. And so, Word of God, we just apologize, Jesus, for having a negative view of you, for blaming you when it wasn't you at all. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come alongside us and that you would help to explain and interpret the Word of God, that you would speak it into our hearts with the love that, the Father has for us, with that knowledge that Jesus died for us so that we could appropriate, that we could get hold of everything that's in the Word. And it's not about putting a burden on us. It's not about shaming us. It's not about condemning us. It's about lifting us out of where we are and releasing us into the freedom of truth, into the freedom of your life. And so, Lord, we just take the Word of God off the hook of blame in our lives. And Word of God, we're going to receive you positively. We're going to receive you from the heart of the Father with love. And Father, we want to bring every person before you that has used the Word to condemn us or bring shame or to try and manipulate us or force us to do anything. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to forgive each one of those people. We choose now to forgive them. But Lord, where there's a process where we need to go home and forgive parents or teachers or pastors or leaders, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to do that. Lord, we choose to forgive them because we want to walk in right relationship with you, and we want to walk in this beautiful relationship space with you. So thank you for freedom. Thank you that your word washes us clean. Your word makes us pure. Your word makes us holy. Jesus, you said when you were washing the disciples' feet that they were already clean because of the word over them. And so I declare that over all of us, Lord, as we read the word, that we will be cleansed in Jesus' name.
I'm just going to close in prayer and just want to encourage you that if God has started something here this morning, some of you it's started and it's finished this morning, but for some of you it's just begun and there's a bit more to go. So I want to pray for you and encourage you that what God has started, let him finish. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us and that you are the plumb line of truth. You are light, and in you there is no darkness. And so for some of us this morning was potentially more truth than we can handle. more light than we can cope with. And we're going to need your grace to be able to fully receive this word and respond in the way you want us to. Thank you that you love us so much that you don't drop a truth bomb on us and then run. But you say, no, I'll stick very close to you. I'll hold you up. Thank you for the words and the pictures and the testimonies that we've heard this morning that are all coloring in the fullness of what you want us to see. And thank you, Lord, that the exact people that you wanted to hear this morning are here to hear this. And that you aren't looking for the crowds and crowds to be entertained. You are looking for the people of God who will be just like your Son Jesus. And this word is to help us be more like you. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that for people this morning who need courage, you would encourage them. For people this morning who need wisdom, you would give them wisdom aplenty. For people this morning who need to go home and deal with the truth in its fullness, that you would be with them in your fullness. For people this morning whose lives are going to be affected by this word, I pray that healing and restoration would come to each one of them. That all of us could have a testimony like Elton's. And that all of us could have the cry to have a pure heart be our cry. So I bless you, church, in the name of Jesus. I bless you to be the pure-hearted ones, the ones who want to be more like Jesus, the ones who want to walk in the fullness of knowing Jesus. I bless you with a love for God's word. I bless you with the capacity to embrace the truth and to take in the light that is God. And I bless you with the capacity to go through the process, the grace to go through this process to completion in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.